chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Oh, boy. This is one of Paul's favorite statements. He makes it half a dozen times in his writings. Amen. And infers it in many other scriptures in his writing. Sometimes he just says it in those terms, I would not have you ignorant. Amen. Well, what kind of a smart aleck is this preacher anyway? Amen. That's always talking to us in such terms and insinuating that we might be ignorant. Well, glory to God, be that as it may. Amen. So much for the protest, but after 2,000 years, amen, and multiplied millions, yea, billions of Bibles, a church on every corner and a preacher in every medium in the world today heralding the truths of God's Word, most people in the world are still ignorant. Amen. That's why he was right in line when he said what he did. Amen. Brother, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. We had 160 people baptized here just a little over a year ago. And there's a bunch of them that you can't even find this morning. You'd have to hire the FBI to track them down. Amen. Praise God. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Had the same chance.
Right.
Same opportunity. Same gospel. Same miracle. Lived on miracles every day. Can you believe they got sick and tired of one of the greatest miracles that ever was and said, our soul loatheth this light bread. I wonder how many miracles of God's provision have we got sick and tired of that we're just bored to death with. Amen. And it's a miracle of God. Praise God. Of God's divine provision. Hallelujah. All did drink the same spiritual drink. Water out of a rock. And what kind of rock was? They didn't realize what that rock was, who that rock was. Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Haven't I seen that rock before? Has that landmark been around here before? Seemed like we always camp where there's a rock that looks just like that one that looked back yonder. Amen. The Bible said it was following them. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Like those old stories, you know, who was it that was in battle in Korea, and he was standing guard, and he looked up one day and saw the bushes moving. Amen. The bushes were moving. You know, looked up, looked around, took time, and all that grumbling, they saw a rock moving along. Amen. And when they moved, the rock moved. Praise God. And when they got there, he looked around and said, there's that landmark again. Some people might have noticed it. Amen. Glory to God. That rock that followed them was Christ. Amen. Ooh, glory. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Wait a minute. They were under the cloud, baptized in the sea, baptized under the cloud, ate the same spiritual meat, drank the same spiritual drink. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, what's the difference? What does it hurt to lust after evil things if you can't be lost anyhow? Once having been baptized, once having been baptized under the cloud and in the sea and drinking the same spiritual drink and eating the same spiritual meat, you can't be lost anyway. Ignorance! Ignorance gone to seed. Ignorance in the name of gospel preaching. Ignorance in the name of the truth of God. Ignorance behind the pulpit. I mean making people feel good in their sins. Amen. When the Bible said, these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. New Testament says, don't let it even once be named among you. Not once. Praise God. I know they blow all out of proportion a few preachers that fell by the wayside. But I ought to tell you they multiplied thousands that haven't committed fornication once. There's a whole lot more that's standing for God than ever fell by the wayside. Amen. Not once. Praise God. Hey, why? Because they're kept by the power of God, and because God in his mercy and his power has intervened in their life and he made a way for their escape, and they took it. Amen. And they survived. I'm glad to be among the survivors this morning. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000, I might add that the New Testament also says, for this cause came the wrath of God, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Amen. And they fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Why were they destroyed? Why was judgment rampant in the camp? Because of sin. S-I-N. Sin. Amen. All these things happened to them for ensamples. 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 Little different word than examples. Ensample means a type of. Almost like the word example. Amen. Ensamples, they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Pray tell me, how in the world will they do us any good if you can't never be lost no matter what you do? Did Paul waste his breath? Was the warning useless? Amen. Was the effort to admonish here an exercise in futility? Amen. Glory to God. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Thinketh he standeth. I'm strong. Amen. Oh, I'm so strong that I've got good strong legs. I can stand. Amen. The Bible said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, because he can't never fall anyway. Huh? Can't never be lost nohow. Amen. Let's rewrite the Bible. Let him that thinketh he standeth rejoice, because he can't never fall anyway. Huh? Rewrite the Bible. Amen. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. How do you keep from it? There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's say it together. God is faithful. I just don't understand how somebody that was close to God and did so much for God and had the blessing of God, and more than once, they got in so good, and I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And some people go so far as to blame God. Why did God allow that to happen? People do that. You ever hear? You will. Amen. But the Bible said God is faithful. How many believe that? Say amen. 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 Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? I want to tell you this morning, you can if you will. You can if you want to. You can, praise God, if you'll follow the Lord. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that. You are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may bear it. Amen. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I'm glad I'm not an idolater. I'm glad I don't worship idols. Amen. But did you know that idolatry is the most common corruption there is in Christianity in this world today? Amen. I stood in that Greek Orthodox church in Timisoara, Romania, several years ago. We went in that big, beautiful church that Billy Graham was coming pretty soon to preach in. Amen. And we toured it while we were over there. Amen. And those dear, poor Russian or Greek Orthodox Romanians, amen, they had a pulpit set down in the middle of the aisle, and it had a tapestry hanging on it with Mary and the babe on the tapestry. And every one of them that walked down the aisle picked up that tapestry and kissed that same old tapestry. Every one of them. If any of them had had a contagious disease, they'd have gave it to the rest of them. Amen. It's just not sanitary to kiss the same old marble big toe over and over again. Like a lot of people does. Amen. It's just not sanitary. But a lot of people, amen, they crawl for miles until blood's running out of their knees in Mexico City to kiss the foot of the Virgin of Guadalupe. Amen. Right here at our own back door, idolatry is rampant. Amen. Even the Filipinos decided the reason they had had that terrible, devastating earthquake, the reason they had had the volcano erupt that literally destroyed, amen, whole areas of the Philippines, including our air base, amen, in the Philippines, left it under a foot of Lahar, amen, and the reason that they've had the earthquakes, and the reason they had the volcano, and the reason they've been blown to smithereens by hurricane after hurricane, some of them decided it was because we put the Black Virgin statue along the thoroughfare in Manila. Even the Catholics, amen, decided finally that part of their problem was because of idolatry. The world over, it's the same, folks. It's the same. Amen. Oh, you, Brother Collins, you don't think that we as homeless folks have any trouble with idolatry, do you? Yes, we do. Amen. We will work and sacrifice and buy and build a beautiful building to worship in. Amen. And before you know it, that building itself has become an entity. Amen. And we talk about that, our wonderful church, and we're thinking about the building. Amen. I want you to know this building won't be worth 2 cents after the rapture takes place. Amen. And you can sanctify a beer parlor and have church and the power of God. Amen. Moving glory to God with the body of Christ there. Amen. It's not the building. It's not the edifice. It's not the stained glass windows. Amen. Or the structure. It's not the magnificent crystal cathedral. Amen. In California. No. Too many times buildings become an entity. Amen. And when we talk about our church, we're talking about that building. We're talking about that ground. Amen. That, my friend, is a form of idolatry. We need to thank God, amen, for how well off we are. We need to thank God, amen, for cushion pews and carpeted floors and heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. Amen. But that's not all there is to it. Christ still had a body, and it was alive and well, amen, when he didn't have no beautiful air-conditioned automobiles, amen, to ride in. Christ still had a body, and it was alive and well. Amen. Somebody said, what's happened to us? Amen. It may be that in prosperous and affluent America, the West, amen, that we have started worshiping things instead of the Creator. We have started worshiping creatures more than the Creator. Amen. Oh yes, idolatry abounds today. Yeah, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Amen. Billy, you listening to me? Call this abandoned to shameful ignorance. Abandoned to shameful ignorance. Amen. Praise God. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 34. Amen. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Did you know today that most of the world would be ashamed to be called a Christian? They'd be ashamed to be called Holy Joe. Ashamed for people to say, they've changed. They start going to church. They'd be ashamed in front of their... Did you know one of the strongest strangleholds the devil's got on people to keep away from the altar is that sense of shame in front of their peers if they step out and live for God? Boy, they've been a leader in sin for a long time. Amen. They'll hang on to a pew till their knuckles turn white because of the reproach of living for God. Amen. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It is a terrible thing to be abandoned to shameful ignorance. Amen. And it is a shameful thing. Let's go back to John chapter 3 and read you just a little bit of that sermon again that Jesus preached to one man. That great, profound message that he preached to one person. Amen. And here's the last part of it. 18, 19, 20, 21st verse. He that believeth to him on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen to this. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Listen to this. He's still preaching Nicodemus. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What happens to a person when he hates light? Amen. He willfully closes his eyes and he walks around groping in his darkness, willfully closing his eyes. He knoweth not at what he stumbleth at. He closeth his eyes willfully. Why? Because what he sees he don't like. And so he stumbles along, groping. He don't realize. Why? Why did God put this thing in my way anyway? Do you know I'm going this way? Amen. He knoweth not at what he stumbleth. Oh, amen. Brother Colin, ain't nobody does that. How was it with you, Will, before you got saved? Amen. And folks came at you with the gospel, the truth of God. Amen. And you didn't get saved. For a long time, you closed your eyes and continued to go along in your darkness. Amen. Every once in a while, God would put somebody in your way. Amen. And old Jeff, he'd rise up and say, "Brother, the Lord will save you if you'll let him. Amen. The Lord will save you. Hallelujah." But you refused to open your eyes. You wouldn't admit that you needed to be saved. Amen. You wouldn't admit that you needed to walk in the light. But finally, when you admitted it and came loose and went to that altar, amen, and opened your eyes and looked your sin square in the face and said, "God, forgive me. Praise God. God, save me. God, forgave you." And glorious light shined on your pathway. Amen. But what happened to you, Brother Asher, when you saw that light? And when you saw it, you changed so radically. Amen. And those guys that you worked with saw your change. Amen. And your family saw your change. And you know what all those blind folks thought? They thought he's gone crazy. No. Amen. He just opened his eyes. He just got cured of his blindness. Hallelujah. He's not crazy. He's smart. Amen. He's not crazy. He's just not ignorant anymore. Amen. He, hallelujah, one time loved darkness rather than light because he didn't want to quit the old ways. He didn't want to leave the old life. I didn't. No, I didn't want to leave my fun. Oh, all of my toys, all of my, amen, fables and fantasies and false hopes and false dreams. Oh, all my bargaining with God while I went on in sin. Amen. I didn't want to quit. I loved my fables. Amen. You loved your fables? Yes. Amen. Here's one of them. The old folks taught it, you know. Somewhere they got it. They said, "You're not accountable for your sins till you're 12 years old." Did you ever hear that? Did you ever hear that fable? Amen. Not accountable for your sins till he's 12 years old. Hey, when I was 10, I thought, man, I got 2 years before I have to be good. Amen. When I was 11, hallelujah, I said, I've got one more year. I can live it up, sin all I want to. Amen. I'm not accountable till I was 12. When I got to 12, I was already hooked and couldn't quit. And so I bargained with God. And I said, God, if you'll not make my life unhappy, I'll never do that again. Lord, if you'll not make my life unhappy, oh God, I'll do better. And I never kept my promises. I never kept my bargains that I made with God. And my life became increasingly more miserable. Oh, but I took refuge in my fables. I got, amen, in my fables, I crawled way back in there, amen, and I dared anybody to get me out. Amen. What are you doing, Junior? Amen. Well, it's not what you do or where you go. It's wrong you make out of it. Amen. It's not that poison ivy is poison. If you don't think it's poison, you can even eat it. Watch out. But one day, God said, you got to come out of there, son. Hallelujah. And from way back in that tent meeting, amen, I walked down the aisle. Hallelujah. I walked out of my fables. I walked out of my darkness. I walked out of, well, most of my ignorance, the part that kept me away from God. I'll admit, when it comes to the Bible, I was about as ignorant as a hog. Amen. When it comes to a lot of it, I'll admit that when it comes to the knowledge of the Word of God, I was 100,000 miles behind. Amen. But I got that little 30-cent Bible of Mama's out and started reading it. Amen. And as a boy, even though I didn't understand it, it was shining a light on my pathway. And it made me feel good because I was conscious that it was the light. And I loved it. Well, most of the time. Amen. And then one time, I marked my page and I abandoned it for a while and walked in my darkness for a while. Amen. You know the carnal man don't like the Bible. He gave one to a precious soul here a few weeks ago. Amen. Another child of God asked him how he liked his Bible. He said, tell the truth about it, I never have read it. That's fatal, folks. Fatal for a young convert. Amen. I gave my own Bible that I preached out of to my daddies, much like this one. It was a Collins Bible. I've got it up to the house. Amen. When he was in Veterans Hospital, he prayed the sinner's prayer with me. I hoped that he was on the way. I gave him my Bible. It had some messages in it, some outlines in it, and sermons that others had preached that I had marked in there. And I started pretty good in it, you know, large print, red letter edition. Give that to my daddy. Amen. Went back to see him the next time. Amen. And I looked around and I said, Dad, where's your Bible? I'll read it for you. Amen. I said, I gave that to Jackie. Fatal. Fatal to a young convert. Fatal. Amen. Amen. My old dog had 12 pups. She's got 5 left. Infant mortality got them. When they got away from the pack, and was real tiny in that cold weather, and got chilled through and through to the bone. And some of them we tried to revive. Amen. We got a bottle out and got some milk, mixed some sugar in it, one time some syrup in it, tried to feed those little dogs. Tried to force that milk into its mouth. Get some warm milk in it. Get it warmed up. But it was too late. It couldn't take even the milk. Woe be unto us when we as Christians can't even take the milk of the Word, much less strong meat. Amen. He repulsed the milk. Seven of them died. One of them had a hernia, and that's the reason it died probably, but the rest of them died because they got away from the pack. They got away from their mother. They got away and got chilled, and they died. One of them died because after he had taken nourishment, he could not assimilate it on account of that blockage in his system. Is there something in our system today that's blocking out the Word of God? You say, is there that possibility? Yes, there is. If we're not careful, we'll allow what Grandma and Grandpa said supersede the Word of God. If we're not careful, we'll let Mama and Daddy's gospel supersede the truth of the Word of God. It's all right if Mom and Daddy love God, love the Bible, love the truth of God. Amen. But that old sentimentality that clings to what Mom and Daddy thought, whether it's right or wrong, is wrong. Amen. We got to walk in the light as He is the light. And if we walk in the light as He is the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 2 Peter 3:5 speaks of people being willfully ignorant. Amen. I'll tell you, one of the worst ignorances there is that when people have all the evidence before them and all the truth before them and all the teachings of the Word of God before them, revival after revival, church service after church service behind them, and they're still ignorant. That, my friend, is willful ignorance. Some ignorance may be excusable for a while till we have time to learn. First time the light shines on our pathway, we may not see everything we need to see. But what about after we see it? What about after we know it? And we still don't walk in the light. What about after we have all the examples of God's good people that have lived an overcoming life walking before us every day, and we can see they're blessed? Amen. We're like a dear old gentleman laying in the hospital in Middletown, and his daughter wanted me to go see him, and I did. I never met him before, but I got acquainted. He'd had one of those type strokes where you cry easily. Anything you say about God, the things of God, he'd cry. And so I talked to him, and he cried. I prayed with him, and he cried. He said, I'd like to be a Christian, and he cried. He said, I've seen how the people of God live, and he said, I can see that they're a lot better off than I am. And he cried. And he cried. He said, the doctor don't want me to cry, but he said, I can't help it. And he cried some more. And I prayed with him. And he cried. And I tried to get through the fog and teach him faith. And how we're saved by faith. We lay hold of salvation by faith. Amen. And I prayed with him. I went back the next morning. Amen. Intended to go to the hospital a little earlier than usual. I was cocked and primed. Amen. I was going to tell him, brother, you have no other choice but to trust Christ. Amen. We got to believe on Him. That's the only way we can be saved. You must do it now. Trust Him now. I walked in round the corner. Amen. Up to the left and around the left hand, turned the door into his room. The bed was empty.
I went to the nurse down the hall, and I said, "Where did they move Mr. So-and-so?" "Amen." She said, "Oh," said he expired last night. He said, "I know people of God are better off than I am. I'd like to get saved. I'd like to live for God." But he couldn't lay hold on that faith. He couldn't grasp that faith. I went the next morning. If I could, by Herculean force, I was going to pick him up, amen, and bear him on the wings of faith and determination into the presence of God and help him to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Praise God. But it was forever too late. And I was the last preacher that attempted to shine the light to light his way. Amen. You may not be able to stand all the light, but I don't know any coal miner that was rescued after being 2 or 3 weeks trapped underneath in that darkness. I never heard of any, but what was glad to see the light of the day. Huh? I never heard of any. Oh, I know the light hurts our eyes sometimes when it shines on our pathway. Amen. But after a while, we'll get used to the light. Amen. And it'll be a blessing to us. The first time Saul of Tarsus saw it, it seared both eyeballs. And he was blind for 3 days and spent 3 days fasting. What did he see? What did he feel? Amen. It made him go without food and water for 3 days in Damascus until God spoke to Ananias and said, "Go to the street called Straight, for there one Saul of Tarsus, amen, is praying, praise God." And Ananias said, "I heard about him." Amen. Oh, the one that had rejected light before, the one that had disdained light before, the one that the light had seared both eyeballs on the Damascene road, now was reaching for light. And he came through the door in the form of Ananias this time, Jesus shining right to him. And he said, "Brother Saul, arise and be made whole. Receive your sight, for the Lord hath appeared unto thee." Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Arise and be baptized. What hurt him before was welcome now. Praise God. And Paul would never bask in his fantasies and his fables and in his darkness anymore. Amen. Paul would never be satisfied, amen, to sink in the darkness of Christ rejecting Judaism anymore. Amen. He would go to the wilderness and for 3 years would cry out to God and draw so close to Jesus that he would get a special meeting with Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jesus would come to him and teach him things that he had never taught any man. Amen. Jesus taught Saul of Tarsus some things that he wouldn't even teach his disciples when he was on this earth. He said, "I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear it." Amen. He knows how much light we can stand. And I thank God that he shined on my pathway kind of gradual, lest I be, amen, completely knocked out of the box. Praise God. I wasn't able to bear it. My ignorance wouldn't stand it. Hallelujah. But bless God. Even though I was slow in gaining grace and knowledge, even though I was a little bit slow, hallelujah, I'm glad to report this morning that after reading the Bible, praise God, for about 47 years, hallelujah, I'm a little bit further down the road, hallelujah, I'm not boasting in myself. The Bible said, let not him that thinketh he standeth, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he knoweth anything and realize that he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. Amen. We're still standing on the beach, picking up a pebble at a time. Praise God. But I want to tell you, it's not like it used to be. If you think I'm kind of rough, amen, around the edges now, you ought to see me when the Lord started with me. Woo! Glory to God. I rejoice in the light. Can you rejoice with me this morning? Raise your hand and praise God that the light has shined upon our pathway and that we love it. We have changed our loves from darkness to light. We've switched over. We got a new love this morning. We love the light and not the darkness. Stand with me and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay with us this morning. Amen. We'll be turning to Brother Asher in just a few minutes. Amen. Lord bless you. Move right on up, right front and center. Get in. Get ready to go for God. Praise God. Brother Asher will let you know if he's going on with this meeting this morning. He'll